The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. President Obama has been talking a lot lately about the need to end the bubble and bust mentality of our economy. For example, last month he talked about unstable bubbles that threaten the economy, and the other day on his radio address, he referred to the bubble and bust mentality that's responsible for the mess in our economy. Now, I'm sure Ron Paul would feel better about Obama's comments if there was any reason to think the president has a clue about the role of the Fed in creating the bubbles and busts in our economy. Ron Paul, right after this.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
President Obama has been referring to artificial bubbles in the economy so often lately, Dr. Paul, that I suspect it's nothing really but a focus group tested talking point. They do that, don't they?
Yeah, they tend to do that. But, you know, maybe we should give him a little bit of credit because he's calling attention to it, and it is very important. I mean, the fact that he doesn't understand it, yeah, you know, it's not his fault. He was raised probably in government schools and our universities. He's listened to Keynesians forever, and they're all around him. So there's no reason for him to really have an understanding of real bubbles coming. But I get fascinated a little bit with the terminology, an unstable bubble. I think of most bubbles as being unstable. And whether or not they're artificial or natural, it doesn't seem to be the issue. They're artificially created, that is, by the Fed credit. So there's no other kind of bubble that you have to worry about just because prices go up. That's not, you know, necessarily a bubble if you have healthy growth. But he is expressing this concern about, the ups and downs and the bubble formation, and even that it might be another one forming. Of course they're forming, but he didn't talk about the big one, which is the one that I'm concerned about and anybody who understands free markets are concerned about, and that is the bond bubble. In the debt, you know, corporate debt, which is considered a lot of purchasing of junk bonds again. They say that's twice as much as it was in 07. And just look at what the balance sheet has done with the Federal Reserve. They had about $900 billion of Treasury bills, and at that time they didn't have any mortgage-backed securities. But now they have 2.6, 3.6, four times as much, you know, debt. Now that's where the bubble is, because in terms of value and pricing, actually the cost to buy and buy is very heavy because you get such low interest rate. So that is huge. I was fascinated with a report the other day where they were talking about the British interest rates. And this is a worldwide phenomenon because the dollar is a fiat currency and it's a reserve currency of the world. But the British right now have the lowest interest rates than they've had in 300 years. So I would think that should wake up people. Maybe there's something strange going on. It certainly isn't the marketplace. It certainly isn't reflecting sound money. But the president was talking about the discrepancy in wealth, which we talk about all the time as well because we're concerned about it. But my understanding of Austrian economics explains this, that when you destroy a currency, it leads to the wiping out of the middle class. If you want a large middle class like we had at one time and a wealthy middle class, you have sound money and you give no privileges to banking cartels or the military-industrial complex. You don't appropriate money for special benefits and you don't pump up foreign governments and foreign banks. But he's concerned about the discrepancy. He's looking at the symptom, but he considers this the cause because there are rich people and the bankers are getting richer and Wall Street's doing well. He sees this as the cause of the problem. But the way I see it, it's the consequence of the problem. Once you embark on deficit financing, borrowing a lot of money, and then inflating the currency, it will destroy the middle class because the middle class gets all the taxes on it. And when I talk about taxes, I'm talking about the inflation tax, because everybody said, well, the, you know, 50% of the people don't pay taxes, and therefore they ought to pay at least a little bit. They never pay their fair share, and only the wealthy pay. But when it comes to penalty, whether or not you have a job, whether you lose your job, your standard of living, or your cost of living going up, the poor and the middle class suffer the most. So that is one of the reasons that there is a discrepancy. And also, there's a benefit to the wealthy. But he, best to my knowledge, Obama considers this, you know, the problem that causes the bubble, then there's a discrepancy, and then they overdo things, and then there has to be a correction. But basically, the way I see it, the bubble starts with the Fed. The Fed prints too much money, and then Congress spends too much money, and they do too much. And money gravitates to certain areas, and you usually can't predict exactly where the bubble will form. Sometimes it's the NASDAQ, and sometimes it's the housing. But what government does frequently will guide that money. A lot of the money right now has gone into education. So there's an inflation on the cost of education. And also, just look at the debt. There's a bubble, you know, with student debt. But also in medical care, I think there's a bubble in medical care, too, because of the expense way out of proportion of what it should be if you had a free market. But it's especially in the area of housing, the government, you know, not only did they print the money and make it available, they wrote laws. Congress wrote laws that said you must make risky loans. You know, you must take these, make sure that you don't discriminate somebody just because they don't have a good credit rating. So that adds fuel to the fire, and anybody should have been able to figure out there was a housing bubble. Right now, though, there's not that many people talking about the bond bubble. I think there's a bond bubble out there. I think more with government debt than with corporate debt, but there's a lot of corporate debt out there, too. There's a lot of city debt. I think there are more Detroits around. But in reality, if the people reject our currency, which they will someday, the United States could turn into Detroit. And, you know, this subject has come up recently on some of my interviews. They'll say, well, what's your position on closing down the government? Wouldn't that be horrible if you closed down the government? I say, yeah, I really worry about closing down the government. I'm trying to prevent it from being closed down like Detroit gets closed down. That's where the real problem is. But no, if they can delay the inevitable, they will. If they put their head in their sand, or they come up and hide behind false theories on economics, which they're doing right now. You know, you get guys like Paul Krugman and Bernanke. They believe that we should do more spending, more borrowing, and more printing of money. And obviously, it isn't working. I think there's a bubble out there. There's a gross amount of distortion. There's not a healthy growth in employment. Most of the employment are part-time people making, you know, minimum wage. So I think what's going to happen, though, is we're going to end up with another downturn, another recession on top of all this. And then what is the Fed going to do? Before, their answer was print money and spend money and run up the debt. Well, what can they do if the next one comes? What they'll do if the downturn comes, and when it comes, they're going to do the same thing, and confidence will be lost in the dollar. That is what we should work very hard to try to prevent.
Dr. Paul, among the largest holders of U.S. Treasury debt are Japan with more than $1 trillion, China about $1.3 trillion. But as you pointed out in this conversation, the Fed is the largest with more than $2 trillion. I think it should be pointed out to people, though, that when China buys U.S. Treasury debt, it does so with real money. I mean, they used real resources, real capital, real labor to make real things that somebody wanted and somebody purchased, and it's from that money that they buy Treasury debt. But when the Fed buys bonds, it does it with money it just printed up in the basement that morning.
I think what you're pointing out, it's a greater danger when the Fed does it, and it's contributing to the bubble, because it's the increase of the money and supply of money and the supply of credit that creates the bubble. Now, it is not exactly perfect when the Chinese do it either, but that is money that isn't created. I mean, they take the dollars that we sent over there that we bought goods, and you know, he comes back and buys our debt. So it sort of gives us a reprieve and let us get away with it because they still trust it. But where China can get into trouble, though, is if a business person has dollars, the Chinese government gives them yuan. So they have their own inflationary problems. So I'm sure there's a lot of malinvestment, and they're concerned about their economy. So when this thing unravels, it's going to affect all of us. I think they're in a lot better shape because they're more in the shape that we were in the Depression. Yes, we had a major problem and a correction for the mistakes of the Fed in the 30s. But we were a creditor nation, and China is a creditor nation, so they're in a stronger position. We're the ones we're the one that's in the weakest position because we're a debtor nation, and it will not be easy for us to come out of it. So we're facing serious problems, and I think that we cannot solve the problems without thinking about monetary policy and the role of the Federal Reserve.
Well, one more quick item before we let you go. In the newspaper story that I read about Obama's bubble and bust remarks, they thought to cite a Federal Reserve official who made the nonsensical claim that both the leading candidates to head the Fed to replace Bernanke, Yellen and Summers, and this is a quote, both can claim bubble battling expertise. What?
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, expertise in sitting there watching it and participating in it, and they call that expertise. You'd think it would wake them up, but that's pretty amazing. But, you know, isn't it interesting how the pundits in the media say, well, which one do you pick, Yellen or should we have Summers? Well, they both believe in monetizing debt. They both believe in Keynesian economics. They might emphasize regulations and fiscal policy in a different manner, but they're central economic planners, and neither one would offer a solution to our problem. We have to look at the basic theory of money and whether or not fiat money managed by a couple people, maybe one person, thinking they can regulate the amount of money should be in circulation and the interest rates, that is a fallacy, and it will be proven wrong.
Thank you, Dr. Paul. Of course, it's another great conversation and another great podcast. Ron Paul, The Weekly Podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.